WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is Xbox. This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is another week of wrestling news, reports, opinions, and a lot about CM Punk for a guy who has no appearances for a long time. We are getting to all of that tonight. First off, this is the be-all, end-all of our network, the Omega, joined tonight by Mace.
It's groovy, baby. Just sit back and relax and go on a trip, yeah?
Okay.
Sorry.
I think he's got a contact high.
It's the music. I got a contact high from the music. It's so 60s. an error I had nothing to do with.
Nor did I. I hear a lot about it, though. And foregoing the old jokes, literally the old ones, I'm not going to those anymore, I swear to God. With us, once again, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yo, you forgot to call it gear, dude. It's gear. The music's gear.
Once again, I was not a part of that era in music, therefore I do not know the lingo.
Yeah, well, I'm back, so the show's over. Thanks for joining us for another episode, everybody. See you later.
Cool, play the outro.
I'm kidding. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And don't forget, tomorrow night, Monday Night Raw, it's the new drinking game. Every time the crowd starts a new CM Punk chant, take a drink.
Why should we drink? Creative's been drinking enough for us these last couple of months.
Well, it's about time we did our own, don't you think?
No.
Ooh. Well,
remember what happened last time I started drinking while watching wrestling?
You actually
understood what the hell was going on?
No.
Oh.
They did it about a half an hour rant that's not in the archives.
And I missed it.
Oh, you did. Half a bottle of homebrew bourbon sort of gets you on the rant train.
Wait a minute. You drank homebrew?
I always drink homebrew.
Who's homebrew?
Friend of the family.
Oh, okay. You should.
Well, I can't drink your homebrew because you're all the way in Canada.
Canada, yeah. Only you and Dr. Laura call it Canada.
Just put some cinnamon and some paint thinner and you've got the same stuff.
No, it's not paint thinner. It's smooth. It's good. It's tasty. It'll get you drunk.
Well, so will rubbing alcohol, but it's not a good idea to drink.
Yeah, unlike rubbing alcohol, my shit won't kill you. Hang on just a second. That reminds me. Okay, now I'm ready.
Good to see we fall straight back in old habits.
What's a wellness policy?
Something we've never had on this network.
Yet Spud continues to violate all the time.
Well, we can't enforce it. We wouldn't have CB radio.
Yeah. Have you listened to CB radio lately?
I'm on the pre-show.
Just the pre-show?
It's the best part. I'm on it.
Well, yeah, it's because you're on it, right? But you're the main event, kid. What's going on?
I'm an attraction. You can't overuse the Omega.
Well, then obviously it doesn't have very much to do with professional wrestling.
Burr.
So what's it been now? 2 weeks since CM Punk basically walked out right before Raw went to air?
Punkgate,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like 2 weeks or so. And the crowd is still pining for their hero. I got a problem with this. I don't know about you guys, and I want to find out what you think about the thing, but I think Punk's a real shit for walking away. What do you think, Omega?
He's got issues that, yeah, had to be addressed in a serious way. It is dickish to do what he did, to just up and leave, by reports, literally 2 hours before they were going live.
Yeah.
After
having a chat with Vince McMahon.
I don't care what the disagreements are. I don't care, you know, what issues you're having, how serious they are, how serious you are about walking. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just, you know, no matter what grievances you're having with them, you be a professional. You don't, you know, don't dick over your coworkers. Don't dick over the people who came to pay you. If you want to go, you know, fuck you, I'm going home after the show or after your segment on the air, fine. But not right then. You know, not in a point where it's going to do nothing but harm everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you completely on that one. What was your take on it, Mace, when it happened?
Well, just so people can also realize that Omega Spug and I have already spoken about this at length on our little special that we did last week, which is currently in the archives over at wildtalkradio.com. Cheap show.
Plug.
Damn right. The manner in which he left and the timing at which he left, yes, I don't agree with that. It's a dick move. But the reasons why, the reasons supposedly why he has left, I'm 110% behind him.
Well, you know,
he needed the higher ups to take notice of something that's going wrong, mm-hmm. And they obviously haven't been listening. And if this is what takes to do it, then, you know, good on him for doing it. But at the same time, you don't walk out 2 hours before a show. You be professional, yeah. Do your spot, and then you go.
Okay, well, I agree with the points that both of you made, and I disagree with a couple of things both of you talked about. A big surprise, eh? But, it's a dick move to walk out 2 hours before the show and forcing... Basically, they hot-shotted that episode of Raw. They didn't have to hot-shot the entire thing, just the segments with Punk. They replaced him with Daniel Bryan, I guess. But his contract is coming up in what, June, July?
July.
It's just, you know, you get these major league sports stars who want more money after having one great season. And I can't help but find analogies to the CM Punk deal. Okay, fine. He wasn't sure he was going to sign a new contract and come back. Maybe he's just going to hang up the boots, and that's over and done with. He wanted to main event WrestleMania 30 because he figured that, you know, that'll probably be his last WrestleMania. The way I see it, they were setting it up that he was going to face Triple H in the ring at WrestleMania. And it's Triple H. The odds are absolutely on top that it was going to be the main event because it's Triple H. Let's face it.
No.
Now, come on. Pay attention to the internet, guys.
No. This isn't Rock. This isn't Rock Cena. This isn't a match that's so big it trumps the Taker match. It trumps the title match. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I keep hearing Cartman in my head. You know, screw you guys. I'm going home.
You can't go home. You just came back.
So yeah. That didn't mean me.
Yeah, but the whole thing though with Triple H, yes, it is really good. You know, it's a good matchup. It's a marquee matchup, but it's like if you take a look at like a, all right, just imagine a marquee in big
the big bold letters, you're going to have Batista versus Randy Orton for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, I'm boring.
Then, you know, and then you've got underneath it in slightly smaller lettering with Undertaker versus, well, Brock Lesnar. You know, and then you've got Cena versus Bray Wyatt, and then under all that in tiny lettering, featuring CM Punk versus Triple H. This is like a tiny, tiny part of that marquee. You know, even though it is Triple H, it's going to be trumped by like three matches, possibly.
Well, it's going to be trumped by anything Daniel Bryan does. Let's face it.
Yeah, that too. But still, you know, a lot of people saying, "Oh, yeah." Just because he's going up against Triple H, it's going to be a high-end matchup. That's basically upper mid-card compared to the other matches that they had planned at the time.
Okay,
or supposedly had planned.
Book where his match is going at WrestleMania 30, provided the match was still going to take place.
It would have been maybe hour two, top of hour two or something like that. It wouldn't be anywhere near the end of the show where the main events are.
Okay.
It might end up being something that takes place between your Undertaker and your main event title match.
Well,
at the same time, that's not where he wants to be. After a guy who held the belt for 400 plus days, mm-hmm. got amazing crowd reactions, still does get amazing crowd reactions wherever he goes. Is the second highest selling merchandise guy in the company right now. Think he's sort of earned that main event spot this year?
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, like, if he was in the main event program leading up to WrestleMania 30, then hell yeah. But how many people are on the roster? You can't keep focusing on one person all the time, no matter how many times they try to shove Cena down your throat. Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, what show have you been watching?
But still, they've got to rotate shit. I mean, how long has it been since Cena has actually really seriously been in the title picture and not used to push the current title holder, right?
It would be the last couple of months.
Yeah, he's not you know, a legitimate threat for the title until, you know, coming up. He's just there to, you know, like, make Randy Orton look good by making him be bad.
Yeah, last time he was in the title picture is when he lost it to Bryan.
They're trying to focus on Daniel Bryan Omega.
Are they?
I know you're having a hard time with that, but I've been, you know, like, going back to when they, you know, screwed him out of the title.
See, don't get me wrong. I see big picture to that. I see that just because he's not winning doesn't mean he's not a focal point. If they weren't high on him, if they had no confidence in him, they wouldn't be putting him in any situation that close to the main event, that close to their biggest story being the Authority.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, being the hottest thing in the company, he's the perfect face to go up against them because it just makes the Authority look all the more evil.
Yeah. But at the same time, unlike other storylines that are not as impactful as what they've got with this, you know, really sweeping, broad, lengthy storyline with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is overcoming every single series of odds that's been put up against him. The only thing I don't like of what they did with Bryan is have him temporarily join the Wyatt family. That was like, how long did that go? Like 3 weeks, right?
Two.
Well, 2 weeks plus the joining, right? So that was, yeah, it felt stopgap. I mean, I'm questioning whether or not they realized it was a failure and a dumb idea after the fact, or if it was something, well, let's give them a chance to basically get some kind of revenge over Bray.
Mm-hmm. The report was that was supposed to go all the way to Mania for Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, but that was the point where you started to hear the yes chants at other sporting events. It started to become a pop culture thing, not just WWE. And it kind of clicked in their heads, oh, wait, this is kind of a big deal after all. Now, how accurate that report is, that's all hearsay, so who the hell knows? But it did seem like they were setting up for something long term and immediately hit the brakes.
Yeah, that just the whole Wyatt family thing just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
almost, of course, you get geniuses posting on forums, boards, and replying to news items all over the internet. It was all set up that he was going to actually beat the tar out of Bray in a cage match that was coming up down the road. Yeah, that wasn't something that was set up that far in advance, really. That was just like a serendipitous thing, and they just said, okay, well, they're going to get them to, you know, we're going to encourage the fans to vote for the steel cage match. We'll have the steel cage match, and then he can get away from the Wyatt family there and then be more over than ever before.
It wasn't voted as a steel cage match, was it? That was something Kane threw in.
Yeah, I could be mixing that up with something else, but yeah. But anyway, you get the idea, right? Oh, well, you know, we're going to wind up putting him in to do a steel cage match, and then he can get it. He can break away from the family then, but whatever. You know, getting back to Daniel Bryan, like CM Punk, when, right after it happened, like for the week after it happened, you read all of these people posting on, the Discus, boards, like on Wrestling Inc., for example, that CM Punk left because he was pissed off at how they were treating Daniel Bryan. Are you kidding me?
I think
CM
that was
Punk. Yeah, CM Punk wasn't caring about anybody but himself, Omega.
I would think I don't necessarily think it's because that's the long and short of it. It seems like, of course, he's more concerned with the fact that, you know, he did all these things throughout the year. He's been a top seller, he's been on top, he's been, you know, one of their hardest workers. And yet he's getting what is going to be, you know, number three or four on the card for WrestleMania. And, of course, that's that's a slap in the face to him. But mm-hmm. It's indicative of just how management is working in WWE these days. And it's a direction that he just overall doesn't like. You know, he admits to him that this is Daniel Bryan's year for the same reason he had his time. You know, both of them at the time are things that are very different. They are fresh. They are exciting. And fans want to see more of them and not this stuff that we've been fed for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, of course, his biggest concern is I don't get to wrestle. I don't get main event at WrestleMania. I think the Daniel Bryan incident where, you know, even he admits this was Daniel Bryan's year, just cemented the fact that whatever's going on behind the scenes, it's just not improving, and nothing is making them aware of it, so this is what it takes.
Well, you know, over the years, we have alluded to how Vince likes to exact revenge in one form or another. I can't help but think in the back of my mind that maybe at some point in time, this is going to come to bite AJ Lee in the ass, kind of like what CM Punk does on Sunday nights. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You lost the 26 minutes. It's a new
record. There you go. That wasn't a bad joke. It wasn't a good one. I don't think it was a joke. It might actually happen on Sunday nights. Anyway, Mace, do you see AJ Lee suffering at all? Because let's face it, other people have suffered in the past for certain individuals pissing off Vince.
Well, that is true. I don't think AJ Lee's going to be the one that gets the punishment.
No.
I reckon it's going to be Brian.
You think it's Daniel that's
really?
What do you think, Omega? You disagree?
I severely disagree. If only because this puts them in a spot where they have to use Brian. And at this point, if they don't use, you know, at this point, if they don't have Punk, who they were leaning on so much as, you know, this workhorse, despite how burned out and hurt he was, now there's this huge gap in the roster. You've got a guy like Daniel Bryan who the crowd's responding to and can fill in a lot of those spaces. If they punish him now, for what? Because he's an indie guy like Punk? I mean, because the fans are cheering for him now? There's any logic in when WWE decides to punish people, but there is absolutely no logic to that. I mean, why hurt your roster even worse just to prove what a big dick you have?
Because you just pointed it out. Because just to show how much of a big dick they've got.
Well,
they've got
China.
Batista, they've got Cena, they've got Orton, they've got their beloved class of 202.
Except Batista isn't getting nearly the response they were hoping he would. Because
is absolutely hilarious.
Oh yeah, that brings up something I wanted to touch on. Batista and Del Rio coming out.
Yeah, Omega Fest there. Finish your thoughts, sir.
Really, really quickly. He's like, dude, I don't have a problem with you. Batista, you're Batista. Just powerbomb the son of a bitch and get it started. Don't be saying, oh, I don't have a problem with you. Well, apparently, you know, you want to get this program started up. Don't worry about whether or not you have a problem with him. Get out there and pile drive the son of a bitch. Like,
but you can't do that in hot pants. You can't do that in hot pants, though.
He was wearing hot pants when it happened? I didn't notice.
Tightest fucking jeans a man can wear, I swear to God.
It just amuses me because the audience is actually starting to show enough of a brain to realize we're getting a substitute for what we really want. You know, we're asking for steak, they're sending out a lobster. And it's, you know, and they're outright rejecting it. You know, they hijack scenes, they chant whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want, you know, and I get a huge kick out of it.
That's getting out of hand, okay? Everybody going to live WWE events, sit on your hands, don't bring signs, and behave yourselves, goddammit. This is Russia.
Sorry.
At least you caught that. There might be one or two that are like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, you know, like King Kittens.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I watched a part of the opening ceremony the other night. There was like entire parts of the arena that had nobody sitting in fucking seats.
Yeah.
You never see that in an Olympics opening ceremony, but I digress.
Now, well, hey, never mind that. If we're going to digress, let's talk about the hotel. Installed the toilet seats upside down. Did you hear about that?
I've heard toilet seats upside down. I've heard toilet seats two beside each other. I've seen urinals.
Bathrooms with no doors?
Bathrooms with no doors.
Or doorknobs.
Doors that lock and have to be burst through in order to get out.
Team bathrooms with no walls dividing any of the toilets.
Yeah.
Mirrored ceilings. Still made of dirt. Mirrored ceilings on the bathroom ceiling.
Kinky.
Russia does have them off you.
Evidently, we're all subscribed to the same Twitter account.
Oh, no, I just check the news site every day. They post new lists of shit that's gone wrong over there. It's hilarious.
Go to the Calgary Sun online, calgarysun.com. They post daily excerpts of what the screw-ups are over there. And every day, it's enough to fill a complete page.
I've got Soichi problems followed on Twitter. Or Sochi problems, rather.
Yeah, I was about to say Soichi.
That's the Japanese too cousin.
Too much Japan in my head. No, they just kind of aggregate all the stories together, and it just shows up in Twitter. It's like, it's brilliant.
Oh, it's just, the absolute hilarity.
I found the account, follower.
There you go. We should get paid for all of these.
What was hilarious is that Twitter user was making the rounds in the news because they have like twice as many followers as the official Olympic Twitter.
But whoever came up with the entire idea for what's going on in Sochi, I swear to God, they are so cross-eyed, they dropped a dime, bent over and picked up two nickels.
They had $50 billion in, what, 4 years to prepare for this, and they're still building the hotels while the events are going on?
Yep. I could just see it. You know, okay, stop, lose. We must come across with lumber. That's right, everybody. The hotel at the resort paradise of Sochi, Russia, should be completed just in time for the closing ceremonies.
Really? That soon? I'm expecting 3 weeks after.
Oh, Mr. Producer says in 2018.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Olympic Games. We thought we were hosting Hunger Games.
That was good. That was the accent sucked ass, but...
I can't do accents.
You can't
do accents. I've never been able to do accents.
You can't talk about Russia like in Russian accent? That's okay.
No.
Me neither, so we're even there. Anyway, swinging this back around.
I don't know what the fuck I was doing.
We're about to explain to you exactly how Sochi translates into WWE. They're both fucked half the time.
All that?
For nothing. For absolutely
nothing. I'm going to go back and play Pokemon now.
What, you can't multitask? I'm stabbing my desk with an X-Acto blade while we're doing this. That's multitasking. You should be able to, play Pokemon at the same time. Doesn't take that much concentration, does it?
Evolving my Pikachu.
I don't want to hear about your Pikachu. Ever again. Your tiny one-inch Pikachu.
That's, oh, good Lord. Yeah.
On that note, everybody, you'll listen to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be actually coming back after this commercial break. In the meantime, hey, here is a classic hit. Where were you when this was number one?
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
How
the hell was this recently?
It was this past Sunday, actually. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Most Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm
pick.
Going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making
money.
I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matador is lost.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god! I can't work it out!
I believe you changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thanks to
God. I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, NWA TNA Superstar, and you're listening to WTR.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WTR, Sunday Night Rock Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. In case you're wondering why Rock is playing the Beatles, he's going to be playing them all night long. It's because 50 years ago this month, and no, Kane Kittens, I wasn't around to witness it. 50 years ago this month, the Beatles invaded North America and appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, which still has a Guinness Book of World Records as the only night in the history of New York where the crime rate has dropped down to almost nothing. Their appearance on Ed Sullivan. 50 years ago today, as a matter of fact. Wow. That was a long time ago.
The fucks I do not give.
That's because you don't like the Beatles.
They had some good music.
Well, they got a lot of good music. They very innovative, and they revolutionized music, the rock and roll industry. And if it wasn't for them, rock and roll today would sound a hell of a lot different than it currently does, which in some cases is a good, could be a good thing, depending on what group you're talking about. But I know what you do like, Mace. You like talking about Daniel Bryan. Very bad.
Do I really?
Yeah. Don't you?
Okay.
Well, maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe you like talking about shrimps on the Barbie.
Only if they're covered in garlic sauce.
Hey, that sounds good, actually.
Oh, it is awesome.
Garlic shrimp. Yeah, it's actually, yeah. Garlic butter or just like garlic powder?
You can do it either way. You don't use garlic powder. You use actual, like, minced garlic or something, or you do it in garlic butter.
Yeah. See, what I like to do is mince the garlic, mix it with some clarified butter, and serve each shrimp individually in its own little tiny little, you know, thing on the plate, swimming in garlic butter.
And once again, this segment of Cooking with Tim Stein is brought to you by...
Shit, we haven't got a sponsor for that yet. It's not brought to you by anybody. Yeah. So, nay, my cooking's not as over as Daniel Bryan, let's face it. But what's more over it, Daniel Bryan or the damn Yes Chance?
That's kind of an unfair question.
Really?
Anytime I've seen the Yes Chance, it has been in support for Brian or in protest of Brian not being used.
This is
outside of it, you know, reaching pop culture status. Like, I'm not counting the times I've heard it at, like, convention panels or other sporting events or anything like that. That's all great and everything. But when it comes to actual, you know, context that matters, you know, in wrestling, whenever I hear the S chant, it is not just the Yes chant. It is the Daniel Bryan pose that goes along with it. It is the fingers up in the air.
Oh, speaking about the pose, how stupid did Triple H look doing the Yes chant?
Everyone looks stupid mocking it. That's the reason for mocking it, to make it look dumb.
There you go. But it doesn't look dumb when Daniel does it.
It doesn't look dumb because he's throwing everything into it. And it helps when, you know, you've got thousands of people doing it in perfect unison.
And it's like when he's doing it, you believe in it because he sells it. There you go. So without Daniel Bryan, there is no Yes chant. Without the Yes chant, there is no Daniel Bryan, yes or no?
Without the chicken, is there the egg? Without the egg, is there the chicken?
Well, you can have eggs without chickens. I mean, snakes lay eggs. But is it the same thing?
Jeez. It's not the same thing. Like, Daniel Bryan was over when it was a no chant, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's amazing a guy can get over with a single word.
Who was the only other WWF/E superstar who was able to get one word over, Mace?
Ron Simmons.
No.
Damn.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, but I was actually thinking something bigger.
What were you thinking?
Hey, you asked the question. I answered.
What?
Don't what me.
What?
Don't what me.
What?
You keep wanting me.
What?
I hated what the damn chant. What chant.
Yeah, the damn what chant, thanks to Stone Cold Steve Austin, was so freaking popular. At one point, it just got to be too much, and I was ready to, like, let my head explode or turn the channel.
What?
Exactly.
They're doing it for everything. Anytime someone hesitated in a promo. What?
Yeah. How long after Austin left did the what chant continue?
Every now and then, I think I still hear it.
Nearly exactly. 10 years.
Exactly. Every now and then, it still happens. Nowhere near the extent that it used to. And I think the reason for that is because yes or no, depending on the situation, has finally superseded it. For the longest time, I was just praying that they would come up with some kind of a chant for the crowd to latch onto so they could get rid of the goddamn what. Because let's face it, it got annoying.
What?
He's going to do that all night, isn't he, Mace?
What?
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Mace.
What?
Stop it.
What?
Cut it out.
What?
Enough.
What?
You Where? Are so fucking lucky my boot is nowhere near your balls right now.
You know he's going to say what?
What?
Knock it off. Moving on. What is actually the bigger chant? Seriously. Let me rephrase that. Which chant is actually bigger? What or yes?
Well, considering what was never really a chant, it was more along the lines of trolling. You'd have to go to yes for default, as it is actually become a chant.
Okay, you just pointed something out, Mace, that I never considered. Steve Austin was trolling the crowds before trolling was invented.
No, Chris Jericho invented trolling.
Yeah, but with the what chant, he was trolling before it was invented by Jericho.
Jericho invented trolling in WCW.
What did he troll in WCW?
Do you remember his promos? He held the audience hostage reading an imaginary list of moves.
Okay, yeah. The armbar moves. Okay, no, that was trolling.
Okay, if we're being completely fair here, the what chant had longevity.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have the reach that Yes has.
Okay,
I hear Yes chants in places that have fuck all to do with wrestling, fuck all to do with sports. It's just something that is so fucking catchy.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, because I was at a sports bar watching the Super Bowl last week, and they even had Yes chants in the bar. Like, it's like I said, it's one of those things that has transcended the sport it was created in and has become pop culture.
More so than what?
Yeah, sure.
Will it have the same legs that what did?
That depends. Well, that's tricky. I don't think you can answer that without hindsight. Because part of it does depend on how well its source is treated. You know, if Daniel Bryan goes heel, then the Yes chants are going to be a negative thing again. You know, when they're supposed to be getting on his nerves. If Daniel Bryan gets injured or de-pushed, you're going to hear it go silent. You know, it's strange because while it does have reach, it does not have the versatility that what has yet. Because what is just such a, it's trolling. It is a negative. But, you know, the yes chant is a distinct positive. So it's a little bit more situational. And in those situations, the crowd rather cheer than start chanting yes.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But you got me wondering something here. And what was it? Must not have been important.
So glad you're back.
No, I guess it wasn't that important.
What?
Now, you know,
speaking of trolling.
Yeah, there you go. But talking about Daniel Bryan and heel or face, at this point in time, wouldn't heel Daniel Bryan be just as successful as heel Stone Cold Steve Austin was?
You mean fucking all successful?
There you go.
He's too over. He's way too over.
Yeah, he's sitting at, like, that pantheon of guys like Stone Cold, Edge, Sting, that they're so over, turning them heel is the, like, stupid idea.
Stupid idea, impossible idea. Because it, you know, it's like when they tried to turn Rock heel after he came back from Scorpion King. It's just outright rejected because he's still too damn good at what he does.
Not possible.
So as much as you would disagree, Mace.
I never said I had a problem with him as a performer. I've always said he's really good in the ring. I just hate the fact that he came in and did well. What Batista's doing right now? So
interesting.
Well, I'm sorry. The connection is there. Rock came in, and while he did quite well to earn his spot at WrestleMania, at least the first time, you know, now we have Batista coming in, getting gassed at a Royal Rumble, winning the damn thing, and then running around in hot pants.
You just really hate those hot pants, don't you?
He can't hit his fucking powerbomb in them! I'm sorry, you're Batista against a guy like Del Rio, who's like a snack. He should be able to fucking pick him up and powerbomb him till the fucking cows come home. But he hasn't been able to do it at all because he's wearing those fucking pants.
So basically, maybe that's why he was trying to tell Del Rio that he didn't have a problem with him and couldn't figure out why Del Rio was all worked up. So he wouldn't have to try to Batista bomb him. Because the last thing he wanted to do was split his pants down the seam.
Pretty much.
That would be funny if it happened.
Oh, it'd be fucking hilarious.
Unintentionally.
And it'd be all over the meme pages. Oh, it'd be hysterical.
I'd chuckle. I would. But, talking about Daniel Bryan, who do you want to see Daniel Bryan fight at WrestleMania 30? Would you put him up against Triple H?
Well, yes, because mainly that was the logical conclusion that should have happened ages ago.
At this point in time, yeah.
Yeah, where it used to, you know, we were going many, many months ago that it should be Triple H versus Bryan because that was the whole authority angle a while back. Now they've swung around to it, back around to it. Mm-hmm. That's fine. We're finally going to get some closure on the damn thing. Which I don't mind that much.
So does this basically mean that we are indirectly predicting that at Hell in the Cell, Daniel Bryan isn't going to win?
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, that's an Elimination Chamber. Thanks. That's what I meant. Pay attention to what I mean, not what I say. Why is your picture of Bray Wyatt so green?
Because it is.
Makes him look like a leprechaun.
It's the St. Patrick's Day edition. Leave him alone.
Oh, that's not until next month. Anyway, yeah.
It's from the swamps. That's the natural coloring.
So are we predicting Daniel Bryan doesn't win Elimination Chamber? Or can you see Daniel Bryan versus Batista at WrestleMania 30? And throw in Randy Orton for the shits and giggles.
I can see that, but whether or not they actually have the balls to actually do it, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're in a spot right now where they have to do something. Because if they're not going to respond to Batista the way they want at the main event, if they don't have CM Punk to fill the top card with, they need some big draw. And right now, you don't have one bigger. So, you know, they might be just in the situation Punk has left them in, they might be forced to stick him in the title match just to make sure there's some good reactions for the main event.
Mm-hmm. Well, Batista's more of a lead balloon than the second coming of The Rock with this return of his. Can you see them deciding not to put the title belt on him now?
I can.
Well, stop and think about it now. Will they decide to do something different, or will they force Batista on the fans? Keeping in mind, WWE is famous for forcing shit.
They force things that are working, and then they overkill them to the point where they're no longer working. Batista isn't working right from square one.
So they got a lot to build with. So, which is the better match for WrestleMania 30? Triple H or Batista?
Well, Triple H or the three-way. Either.
No.
I'll be straight up honest. It's one of those things of either one would work and would make a good match.
Omega?
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now Omega.
It's... I'm kind of with Mace on this one, because, yeah, it's hard as a fan to go, he doesn't need to be in the main event, he doesn't need to be in the title picture, in the title match. I'd love to see him there. I think he's earned it this year to actually main event Mania. But both matches are enormous, whereas one is for the WWE Championship that, you know, honestly, as hard as the guy's worked and as hoper as he is, he honestly deserves it. Versus the match with Triple H, where it's a storyline that has been building up ever since the Authority was a thing. You know, he was the face counterpoint to it. Mm-hmm. So culminating in a match at WrestleMania just seems like a logical extension of that. And it's still a big match because it's freaking Triple H.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to see that match at WrestleMania. I know it's the culmination and it's the blow off and it's the end of that angle and they can move on from there and go this way or that way, whatever. But it's WrestleMania. And if it was even two years ago, Triple H versus Daniel Bryan at Mania, okay, I'd buy that. I don't want to see Triple H versus Daniel Bryan at such a huge, quote-unquote, event. I think that I would want to see that triple threat three-way instead.
And so would a lot of people in the quote-unquote IWC, but to be honest, at this point, either match is actually more worthy and logical.
Well, yeah, I think this is one thing where it's an embarrassment of riches. You could go either way. It would be good. It would make sense. It would be entertaining. And let's face it, Daniel Bryan can carry all three of those guys to a decent match.
Very true. The only problem I have with the three-way is that as much as I would love the match and it'd be a good match, it'd be, you know, probably one of the better matches at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now put into that mindset that we talked about, like, probably long before you left, where, you know, I can't trust the WWE to do the right thing and put the belt on Bryan. It's another one of those things. It's another SummerSlam.
Well, yeah, we were saying stuff like that before SummerSlam even took place.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though. It's like, we've become so used to Bryan being so close to the big one and never actually getting it that now it's like, as much as I'd love to see him in this position, I don't want to see him in it because in the back of my head, all I can hear is Daniel Bryan's not going to win it, so what's the point in watching?
Yeah, and it's hard not to be negative in that direction just because of what we've been force-fed all summer into winter up to this point. He changed the picture. But yeah,
that's Bray Simpson, by the way.
Bray Simpson. Yeah, I was wondering. People are thinking, what the hell are they talking about? It's just so you know, it's a Rock and Skype avatar. If you've got him on Skype, just click it on and take a look. You'll see it.
But yeah, you know, either way, if we had to watch Triple H and Daniel Bryan, all right, I'll watch that. I'd be more enthused for the triple threat. But either way, either match is going to be good, simply because of one guy, and that's DB. Let's face it, he's the best thing WWE has right now. And that's almost a dangerous place for him to be in.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because when you're not the guy that WWE built, well, you start watching your back.
Yeah, you know, if you force them to give you a push, you might become another Zack Ryder.
This is a cue when I should have actually come in with one of his catchphrases, but meh.
Why don't we just go to break instead? And
that's a good idea.
Okay, we're going to come back, talk about some brutal matches, quote unquote. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of the sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks and...
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where we ask the all-important question, is the announce table trying too hard to convince us that the New Age Outlaws aren't holding the tag team titles because they're really good friends of Triple H? I don't promise answers, kids. I don't promise the answers, but I will give you the questions. Yeah, no, that can't
Thank
be
you,
the reason.
Rusty.
I didn't say I changed the question. Anyway, yes, yeah, so WWE has published a list of 10 matches that are apparently too brutal for WWE.com, but they'll be available on the brand new WWE Network coming this month. They've got Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho from the 2008 Great American Bash. Royal Rumble 1999 is Mankind versus The Rock. John Cena versus JBL at Judgment Day 2005. D-Generation X versus Mr. McMahon, Shane McMahon, and Big Show. That was Unforgiven 2006. And then, of course, Randy Orton versus Cactus Jack at Backlash in 2004. Then there's Trish Stratus versus Steph McMahon at No Way Out 2001. Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, No Mercy 2002. Ric Flair versus Mr. McMahon, Royal Rumble 2002. And then Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13. And finally, Batista versus Triple H at Vengeance 2005. Now, with all of those matches listed that are going to be available on WWE Network, but only if you're an American, because if you're not, you don't count. What would you say is the most brutal match you've ever seen in WWFE, WCW, Mace?
If you want to go with, like, brutal physicality, you've got to go with Mankind and Rock from Royal Rumble 99.
Okay.
For the pure fact of the nine or 11 chair shots to the head that Foley took while handcuffed.
Oh, God. It was a lot. It was somewhere between 9 and 11.
Yeah, I lost count. I don't think Mick would remember.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's your brutal match. What about you, Omega?
Jeez. I'm so indoctrinated by modern PG, I'm trying to remember the last brutal match I witnessed.
Two women fighting over the last box of Special K at the supermarket yesterday, maybe?
Har, har. And if we're talking the WWE umbrella, this entire list can be trumped by a single ECW pay-per-view.
That's why I didn't include ECW.
But, you know, even then, WWE used to have hardcore-themed pay-per-views. I mean, I got curious because, Trish Stratus and Stephanie was on this list. And I'm like, really? So, I go check the match out on YouTube. Sorry, Network, it's already available free. What I found was a match that puts anything the Divas do today to shame. Because they're rumbling out of the ring, they're using the announcer's tables, they're throwing each other over barricades. You know, they're putting on a, you know, and the crowd's into it. You know, like, they're actually putting on a match people are caring about that isn't just the same, you know, hair pulling and basic move spots.
Yeah.
Kind of incredible. But no blood.
No.
None. Like, I've seen women's matches with blood. It's rare, but it happens. And, you know, I've seen more brutal women's matches, so why it's on the list, I don't fucking know.
Stephanie McMahon.
who knows?
To be just the boss's daughter, she put on a better wrestling match than most in the company today could.
Yeah, that's scary. One match that I noticed is not on here that really should. What about Taker versus McMahon in the Buried Alive match where McMahon split his head open in the first 3 seconds?
That was kind of brutal.
Yeah.
Because if you want to go on severe blood loss, that's got to be right up there.
Well, how long was he lying down, basically head first in the corner of that ring with the blood just gushing? I mean, it wasn't a drip, it wasn't a drop,
I think it was about a 4 or 5 inch gash in the top of his head from where the razor was.
Yeah, and it was between us. Yeah, it was between a drizzle and a stream. And you just look at that, and like 30 seconds after it started, it was so deep, and the blood was so, like, you could tell it was an artery because it was already clotting on the mat. When you hit a vein or if it's just blood throughout your body, it doesn't clot like that. I saw that, and I thought, oh, fuck, he's dead.
Yeah, it's like I've seen a lot of brutal matches in that company, a lot of them involving Mick Foley, surprisingly enough. But yeah, it's sort of, I don't know, like, this is just blatant advertising for the network because...
Go for it.
No, I'm not saying I'm blatantly advertising the network. As far as I'm concerned, at this point, the network can go fucking jump off a bridge.
Yeah, you're just saying that because you're not an American.
Exactly.
I'm 3 hours north of the fucking border, okay? I can't get it either.
Exactly. But here's the thing I realized. Okay, here's the thing I realized last night. Yeah, well, shut up.
Shut up, Omega. We're not talking to you.
Back to Pokemon.
Here's the thing I realized the other day. If I could legally get Hulu Plus, Netflix, and the WWE Network, I could get rid of my cable subscription.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about illegally getting rid of your cable subscription now, will we, Tim? Nope.
No, not at all. But look, like, when it comes down to this list, like, this list was just straight up one of those, we're plugging the network.
Yeah.
Because you take a look at it, and it's like, some of these is even tame by those standards as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've already pulled out a couple of matches that aren't on the list that are more brutal. I could even go Triple H Mick Foley from Royal Rumble 2000.
Yeah, well, I've got one, which is my personal favorite. As a matter of fact, it's a Hell in a Cell match. Taker versus guess who?
That's Mr. right. Foley.
Mick Foley. That was brutal. Getting chokeslammed through the top of the cage. Getting chokeslammed over onto the announce table from the top of the cage.
Even Cactus and Chainsaw Charlie versus the New Age Outlaws is more hardcore than half this list.
Yeah, see, the one that comes to my mind at the moment right now is Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon.
Yep, it's another one. God,
that's not the one where he tried throwing him through the glass and it didn't break, is it?
Yeah.
That's
the one. And even after, like, being thrown against the glass twice and it not breaking, moving to another section and it breaking, didn't Shane, like, jump off the, like, halfway up the entryway or something? He, like, climbed the scaffolding and jumped off in that same match.
Oh, God, I think it was.
Did he? He did that in the Big Show match, but...
It's Shane McMahon.
A lot of matches.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's Shane McMahon. When doesn't he jump off of something?
I just hated it when Shane was ripping off RVD's move.
That's RVD's! Stop it! Omega, back me up. Oh, no. I was thoroughly enraged.
What are you talking about? It's Coast to Coast. What's this movie you're talking about?
This is what we get when we leave ECW out of a discussion.
Someone was the one who left ECW out of discussion. Never said to leave ECW out of discussion.
Well, yeah, but who was it? I think it was Mace, and it could have been Omega, who pointed out that one single ECW pay-per-view would just blow this whole list right out the fucking water and just render all of our conversation moot. The point is moot. Did you really want that?
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I could turn around and go, all right, so we got ECW pay-per-views. Let's see, there was one in early 2000 between Steve Corino and Dusty Rhodes that left Corino in a bloodbath.
Yep.
Anything to do with Sabu.
Yep. Everything to do with Sabu.
So, I mean, if you put ECW in this list, you might as well just list off the roster versus the roster and be done with it.
Well, what was that match where he duct taped his biceps back together just so he could finish it? Who was he fighting?
Oh, I think that was one of the Van Damme matches. I can't remember exactly which one off the top of my head, but...
It could have been.
Like, you know, even look at Tommy Dreamer and Raven matches.
You're forgetting the hardest of hardcore, Beulah versus Fonzie.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you got to be careful when dealing with Beulah. You never know where the blood's coming from.
Oh, God.
And Kane Kins, go to your corner. The most extreme match is not Alicia Fox versus Melina. Corner.
No, that's the most technical matchup.
Technical matchup.
Okay, both of you to your corner. Time out, 5 minutes. Except you have to keep talking.
God damn it.
That's your punishment. So.
Your punishment is to stay on the show some more. Oh, fuck.
And no, you can't have any homebrew bourbon.
Bullshit, it's within arm reach.
God damn it. You know, now I want to try that.
Well, come to Australia and you can have some.
Bring it with you when you come to Canada.
I can't bring unsealed bottles.
Well, then seal the bitch.
I don't have the technology.
That's too bad. And I'm sad. Now I gotta get drunk. On cinnamon whiskey. So you guys still want to talk brutal matches? I mean, we could probably bring up every single goddamn ECW pay-per-view in history.
Which are all available on the WWE Network at launch.
In 2 weeks and one day.
There's a countdown on WWE.com.
Now, aside from all of the content that's going to be available on WWE Network that we can't watch...
That you can't watch.
Yeah. I got two words for you, okay? Anyway.
I'm waiting for the two words.
Yeah, aside from all of the wrestling content that's going to be available 24/7, all of the pay-per-views that you can watch, and it's only $120 a year, American, for you Americans.
What?
I mean, it's stupid. Yeah, thanks. It's stupid not to get the damn thing. They're going to have, like, their own version of reality shows and other entertainment shows and stuff like that. Omega, create a show you'd like to see on the network. Get ready, Mace, because you're next.
God, show on the network. And we're talking like an actual show, not like Divas Compare Titty Size.
Hey, that's the show that Mace would watch.
Why? The results would come out D-Cup versus D-Cup.
Yeah, well, you know, you could Silicon versus Silicon.
Sailing before it hit the air.
Yeah, Zeb Coulter before and now.
Yeesh.
Yeah, try to create.
Actually, I want to see something along the lines of watching football with Dutch Mantel.
Football talk with Dutch?
Did you not see his tweets during the Super Bowl?
No, I did not.
The guy was fucking hilarious.
That might be interesting. Would you mix other sports with WWE Network, though? Would that be smart?
Well, not actually showing the sports, but
XFL
maybe having
reruns.
The...
Yeah, I want to see the XFL.
You really want to see this network fail, don't you, Omega?
Oh, wait till we bring back the bodybuilding.
Oh, God, yeah. The 1 week after its debut, we had a new way of saying XFL here.
Shit.
It's awful.
You mean CFL?
XFL.
CFL.
And you piss off. No, CFL is not the same game as the NFL. Don't you dare compare it. You're a dick. How's your Philadelphia Eagles doing, bitch?
How about them Flames yesterday?
They're rebuilding. Shut up. Avery got lucky, bitch. Emery got lucky.
Can't even get it right. Good job, Tim.
Nobody knows what we're talking about, so no. Move on. A football show with Dutch Mento. What about bringing Hardcore Holly back and talking race cars?
I missed my chance to actually do that with the man himself, but... No, not really. But well, here's the thing. Okay.
With Alabama.
I'd like to see, like, say, a Superstars Hobbies type show where you go and see a bit behind, like, see what do they do on their days off, you know? What type of hobbies do they do? Do they play video games? Do they collect something?
Yeah.
Something that sort of lets us know that they're human.
Mason, I've
got
one.
Not just spending their time in the gym and then going wrestling.
Yeah, I've got one thing to say to you. Get out of my head. I have a name for this TV show, as a matter of fact, and my thought was like every week you do a different superstar, call it A Day in the Life. And it's pretty much just what you described. Scary. We thought about the same fucking thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, I know this was a rumor a long, long time ago. I want to see the Big Show cooking show that he was supposed to do with his wife.
That would be interesting. Have you seen his wife standing next to him?
I have not, actually.
She comes up to like his waist, for Christ's sakes.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Most people do come up to just his waist, but. Yeah, she's just like, well, of course, naturally, it's a Big Show. She's just like, she's dwarfed next to him, but she looks so tiny. It's just like a super contrast. But that might be interesting, that, you know, cooking show. That would be an interesting idea, you know, putting on a cooking show.
Yeah, and the third one that I'd like to see is superstar workouts.
Like, how do you get big without steroids?
Well, pretty much. It's like, you know, we've seen glimpses of Triple H's workout in his DVD. I'd love to see a full-blown, like, one-hour special dedicated to this is what Triple H does to stay in shape.
Like, you know, go ahead.
Or they follow Big E Langston around, you know, and they show his weights workout, or, you know, they just put a camera in Cena's gym.
At the gym with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. At the gym with Antonio Cesaro.
How long would it take for that kind of programming to get stale?
Given the way most people in this world are about fitness these days, it would take a long time for it to get stale.
So what you're proposing, you figure it's got some legs.
It would have some legs, because if it's one thing that back when I was doing interviews...
Yeah.
With show that shall not be named. One of the things I would always try and ask some of the more fit physique guys is, what is your workout routine?
Yeah.
You know, I want to, as somebody who is getting back into independent wrestling, and you've got guys like Spug who is an independent wrestler, if there's one thing we're always crying out for is workout advice from these type of people.
Yeah.
And yet it seems to be so hard to get a hold of, you know, because 9 times out of 10, they'll use it as a way to say, you know, just do your cardio and this, that. No, I want actual workout advice.
Speaking about workout advice, Mace, please tell me that you're carb loading on days that you power lift.
I'm actually avoiding carbs as much as possible.
Oh, you got a carb load when you're lifting, though.
I'm trimming the weight down before I add the muscle on, dude.
Okay. It's just everything that I've read and everybody I've talked to. If you carb load when you do power lift, right? You're gonna burn the fat and put the muscle on at the same time.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it that way.
Okay, fine. Don't.
At least the muscle fatigue. I don't want to do that.
So you don't want to feel like your arms are, okay, dead weight. Right, sure.
Yeah, I've got stuff to do after my gym session, sir.
So. Okay. Fair enough. Just don't be drinking any, workout water that is nothing but sugar and flavoring.
Nah. Have standard unflavored water. But anyway, we're getting, right off track.
That was just a shot at the column that you have posted on the front page of Wild Talk Radio to prove that, yeah, I read it.
Congratulations, you can read.
Thank you. Yes, sometimes.
Which was posted there about, 5 months ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Shilling 5-month-old content right here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, all right. Maybe I'll start writing something and posting it up there in about 5 months.
Hey, there you go. Good idea.
Yeah. Who knows what it'll be about?
Cooking.
No. I don't cook. I don't like cooking. I will never cook.
Anyway.
Tell us what you do with shrimp again.
I baked a loaf of bread the other day from scratch.
All right, he bakes. He doesn't cook. Got it.
I made a
cake. We got enough people on this network to bake.
Maple bacon donut holes. Where were we?
Into the network.
Yes, get back to the network. So, yeah, no, going to the gym, that sounds like a good idea. I'm kind of surprised that we're coming up with legitimately good things to potentially put on the network instead of, just a bunch of bullshit. I'm impressed. That's good.
You mean like Legends House?
How much of the stuff that they're going to put on WWE Network is going to be like Operation Repo? Fake reality. Fakeality.
Have you seen the programming we get already?
But that's expected, fake reality. But if they're going to do something like this, don't you want something that's like real reality? I mean, I don't want to go shopping with the Divas. But to get some fitness advice, I'd watch, at the gym with whoever. I'd be interested in a day in the life of blank, this week's superstar to see how many video games The Miz plays. I don't know why I'd be interested in that.
Oh, come on. We're all waiting for the culminative episode of Big E Langston's My Little Pony collection.
If you don't follow him on Instagram, he is tremendous. Just point that one out.
Sorry.
I think I'm one of the few people on this planet that does not have an Instagram account.
No, I'm another one. I don't have Instagram either.
Yeah, I don't either.
Anyway, he also posted on Twitter. It's still funny.
Hey, Rock, do you have Instagram?
Yes, I do.
Ah, bingo.
I don't.
You're a minority.
I don't use it, but I have it.
You still have it. That counts.
Yeah.
So, now I'm interested for the five people tuned in to listen to us yap tonight. Kane Kittens, Starscream, Josh, you guys. You got any ideas for a WWE programming? Post it in the chat room. I'd like to find out.
Starscream Josh says I would watch Cena talk about his car collection.
He's got a bunch of cars, doesn't he?
He does have a bunch of cars.
He goes to World of Wheels and shit like that all the time.
Yeah, because that goes back into the day in the life of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if it's one thing that's going to sell, it's passion.
Yeah.
If these guys have a passion and you show it on screen, people are going to tune in.
Right.
It's why stupid things like Real Housewives of whatever is popular these days.
Well, if we did a day in the life of Mace, what in your daily life would cause somebody to actually tune in and watch the program?
Well, Tim, it would be something along the lines of sitting here and recording WrestleTalk Radio for WildTalkRadio.com.
Omega, would it be anything like what you already do with your video?
Not necessarily do that with my video, but maybe.
Okay. And then Rock would never, that would never happen with Rock because it's really boring to watch a guy sit there in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Old reference.
Still doesn't matter. It's made every single week. Anyway.
Here's the thing. I can see people tuning into Omega just to hear the rage during the editing process of his videos.
That would be worth the price of admission right there. Because you know what would happen? He'd get right to the edge of just cursing a blue streak, making Bob Saget blush, and then backing off.
Hey, a lot of people watched Omega build his computer. That was entertaining.
I actually caught a little bit of that, and at one point in time, it was interesting. His frustration, he was starting to turn almost as red as the light on the side of that box. At one point, you were Omega.
That's only because we're giving him shit all the way through it.
Yeah. That might have also been the lights that I had on me for 2 hours straight.
And the fact that you were in Florida and it's like 115 degrees there with the Humidex knocking it up to 175 and wet. You can't tell if you're swimming or walking around on dry land.
Oh, this wonderful state of mind.
Mm-hmm. I know about humid hot because I used to live beside the Great Lakes.
See, I can live in Florida because that's exactly what Australia is like right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're pretty damn close to the South Coast, aren't you?
I am indeed. Half our state's on fire.
Yeah. Blame it on global warming.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's another reason why I want to get the fuck out of this country.
Well, it has
so
an Australia
anybody thing. Listening, if you want to donate to help get me out of Australia and to the U.S. where I can be safe, please do.
Whoa, wait a minute. Did you say safe in the U.S.? Have you seen
yes.
the crime rate statistics?
I have, but I've also got a woman waiting for me over there, sir.
So. Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I know a girl, and she's about 3 hours away from you, who's on my case to go down to Australia, so.
Cool, we'll swap.
I don't know how that would work, but yeah, we'll try to figure something out there. Try to figure something out. So, all right, so we've talked about the most brutal match, shit that we could put on the WWE Network that we'd watch. Do you hope the WWE Network is wildly successful, Mace?
I do hope it's
take two.
That's okay, we're recording. Nobody will hear that mistake.
I hope it is successful. I hope it gets a lot of people. I hope the servers explode in day one.
No, you don't want that. Then that'd be bad news.
Yeah, that'd fuck shit right up. Now, they've been promoting that WWE Network will be officially launched after Raw. However, WWE Network programming on WWE Network will be available to subscribers as of 9 a.m. Eastern Time that Monday morning.
Yeah, all the on-demand content will be available. The live stream kicks off right after Raw.
Yeah, you can't really have a live stream until Raw is coming on, really.
So. Which is brilliant.
It's not a dumb thing.
Right, and, and for everyone who is in the United States, the network will be free for the first week.
For everybody?
In the U.S., yes.
For everybody?
Yes, in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah. The U.S. See, I knew you were going to add that fucking addendum. Yeah, no, Mace hopes it's wildly successful, and so do I. Because the more successful WWE Network is, the quicker it will expand outside the U.S. market. And as great as the Americans like to think they are, there's a whole lot more people and a whole lot more potential revenue for the rest of the world. Which is, now I'm not taking a shot at Americans or anything like that. I'll save that for the Olympics. But,
huh, okay.
You're wondering, what? Yeah, anyway, yeah, no, I take a shot at the United States during the Olympics because, you know, that's a country national pride thing. I want WWE to be as successful as possible, as quickly as possible. The sooner everybody else, like me and Mace, get WWE Network, I think the happier we'll be.
To be honest, my reasoning has absolutely nothing to do with an international exposure.
Well, mine does. So you just want to make sure that it's not another XFL. Why do you want it to be successful?
Well, this is probably the first time you've ever seen a company take a full-blown risk of moving their own content into a digital-only medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things, sure, we've got things like Hulu and Netflix and stuff like that, but that's a combined effort of different companies.
Yeah.
This is the first time a single company has gone, we're going to take all our content and put it online for people to view at their own leisure for $60 for half a year.
Yeah.
It's a risk, especially with the pay-per-views, because they're... could possibly have a big downturn in pay-per-view revenue. So,
well,
you know, it's risky. It's a risky move, and I want to see a lot of this type of stuff happen a lot more, because it's going to mean more selection for the customer.
Yeah.
At a cheaper rate than being hogtied by your cable provider into getting packages A, B, C, and D for, you know, two or three channels that you actually want to watch, and 50 channels you don't.
Yeah.
I just want the WWE Network. Why do I need Lifetime movies?
Exactly.
Yeah, bundling and crap like that. That has always been bullshit, in my opinion. But there are people out there saying that it's really a dumb idea for WWE to actually go ahead and do this network. And, you know, one of the most outspoken happens to be UFC guy, Dana White. Is he right? Where does he get off saying WWE is stupid to launch the network? Why is he saying that?
Because he's fucking jealous that he didn't think of it first.
And here's the thing, they have their own little pay-per-view network. They have something called a Fight Pass.
Yeah, but that's on cable, isn't it?
No, it's an internet thing.
No, it's an internet thing? Okay.
For international only.
Okay.
Or, well, not international only, but you can be seen worldwide, but it's only showing international content on a live streaming Fight Pass.
Well, and the same...
To be fair, the UFC really doesn't have the wealth of content that WWE has to do something at this scale.
Oh, yeah, no. I was just about to point that out.
No, they don't, but they're running live specific events on that Fight Pass network. It launched last month, I think.
But I can see the jealousy angle for being legit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, pissed off he didn't think of it first. Pissed off he doesn't have enough content. Pissed off that there's not a major player that he can buy out and gain access to their libraries.
Well, considering that Dana White's already...
cornered the market.
cornered the market in UFC, buying most of his competitors anyway.
Yeah, but none of them were like what you would consider major on the scale of WCW at the time.
Bellator was at the time.
It was Bellator was not too bad. But of course, you stop, you think about it. How long has WWE been around? How long has was WCW around? How many territories was Vince able to actually buy just to get their libraries as compared to UFC? And it's all just because wrestling's been around for 150 years and UFC hasn't. Anyway, that being said, are we going to take another break or just go straight into your buy and sell thing, Rob?
Go straight into it.
Well, let's go into buy or sell.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell?
No! No! No!
Buy or sell The Miz and Dolph Ziggler as a tag team, Omega?
I'll buy it, if only because they're supposedly going to be running this as the disgruntled guy tag team. Mm-hmm. You know, just two guys who are fed up with their position in the company, and as two guys who have headlined as, you know, world and WWE champion respectively and have been given no opportunity to regain that spot, that kind of works. You know, they both deserve better than the tag team division, in my opinion, but you know what? If it gets both of them moving again, and, you know, we've seen lately with Kane and Daniel Bryan that a good tag team can get you somewhere, you know, and even Cesaro, who now gets to be in the chamber match, you know, these days being stuck in a tag team isn't necessarily a bad thing. So, you know, if it gets them moving again, I'm for it.
Mace.
Sell this one. I really don't like the idea of it. You know, as Omega said, it's only there because it's a disgruntled man tag team. Eh. And to be honest, those two together, you might as well just say, hey, who wants to team with Zack Ryder? Because nobody's going to give a shit.
You know, he could become a third member of that team. You never know. They could become a trio.
Ouch.
Too scary to comprehend.
Yeah, I know. It really is. But they did a video together on one of those WWE backstage pass things. Yeah, it's scary. Anyway, Tim, buy or sell?
Just for the fact that what else are you going to, you know, what else is being done with them right now? I will buy it. Just so they actually get a chance to shine, give them the tag belts. I can see them working either as crowd favorites or heels. And I can see the team actually working until they decide to split them up in 5 months so one of them can chase a singles title.
Okay. Buy or sell MVP as TNA's new on-screen investor. Mace.
You're kidding, right?
No, this is a serious question. We talked WWE and TNA. The intro says so.
Change the intro.
You're kidding, right? Since when did MVP have the money to invest anything?
Since Dixie Carter said, hey, did you want to come and be a character on TNA? Because we're desperate for shit. I'm pretty sure that's what she said.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't really buy it, but I can't really sell it either. I can't buy it because, well, I don't believe that he has the money to invest in a pair of socks, let alone, you know, TNA. But then again, TNA is probably very cheap to invest in at the moment.
Yeah, but he blew all his money trademarking the name MVP so he can use it wherever he goes.
Very true.
Yes.
But I can't sell it either because it's that ridiculous a concept that it's right there with just about anything else TNA's done lately.
Yeah, so don't expect to see any MVP matches on the WWE Network anytime soon.
Tim, buy or sell?
Yeah, I'm not even going to window shop.
Oh my God, buy or sell?
This could almost work since he's supposed to be like the Kobe Bryant overpaid, you know, guy type. You could believe that he would have the money if they didn't run a whole storyline around the fact he didn't have any money anymore. Not that, you know, wrestling fans remember history or anything.
Wait, he was broke once?
I am going to sell this. I mean, whoop-dee-doo. It's MVP years after anyone cared.
You guys cared about that one. Let's see what you care about this one. Buy or sell airing Over the Edge 1999 on the WWE Network. Tim.
This is really hard. The one pay-per-view I would never, ever, 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 ever want to see again, no matter what, would be this one. And it's understandable why. However, I can understand why they, you know, somebody would want to check it out. And there are two schools of thought here. Some people are just morbid fucks, and other ones are like, oh my God, you know, and this is their twisted way of like trying to pay some kind of a tribute to Owen. If they're going to put it on the network, it can be guaranteed that I'll never click it and watch it.
Mace.
Here's the thing. I'd buy it. Mainly because it's the one pay-per-view I have never seen.
Same here.
you got to remember, back in 1999, Australia didn't have a very strong ability to get WWE pay-per-views. We didn't even have the WWE pay-per-views going here, if I remember correctly. And we'd have to wait for them to hit video, or at least I would. Which would happen, you know, 3-4 months down the line. And this never hit any type of recorded media. And to this day, it's still one of the harder to find torrents on the internet. Sure, you can find one, but try to find one with enough seeds to make the download worth it. So I've never seen this. I want to actually see the matches from that pay-per-view. The only thing is, I don't like the idea of they're going to edit out all references to Owen.
No,
which is what's been recorded.
Yeah, editing all the references out, that's more Martha than trying to be polite.
Well, yeah, I know it's them trying to stick with the current lawsuits and everything else, but you know, I just
let
don't,
it go, bitch. We want Owen in the hall. Sorry.
Gee, is that a torch I see burning there, Tim? bright as the fucking sun at the moment. But, you know, this is the one thing. Like, I want to see this pay-per-view. And if this gives me a chance to see it legally after all this time, I'm buying it. Even if it is edited to remove any and all reference to Owen, which I find more disrespectful than anything else.
Omega.
This is tricky. Because I know they've already gone on record that Owen would be edited out in the version they air on the network. And, yeah, for the same reason. Like, this is one of the few pay-per-views I've never seen before. I mean, there's a Undertaker and Stone Cold match I've never seen. You know, you had the breakup of Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. I mean, there's little things like that I'd be curious to actually see and experience. I understand, you know, it's really understand why they would actually take that out. I'd buy it, but I don't find it disrespectful to take out everything about Owen. I understand why they do it. You know, and, you know, it is a little faces of death to if they had left it in. I prefer you leave in as much of Owen as you can. Nothing during the fall, nothing, you know.
But the only thing on the pay-per-view is basically a build-up package for the Blue Blazer versus the Godfather?
Yeah.
So that's all that's really edited out besides, you know, the reference to his death.
Well, the Godfather was the title holder over the Edge 99, and Owen was supposed to actually win it as the Blue Blazer that night.
Right. So that's the only real part of editing him out, plus all the mentions to his passing are taken out.
See, that's the thing. I would leave in the mention of his passing. You know, that part, if you're going to show respect, this is the event where it happened, that part acknowledges, okay, we're not going to show you the guy falling 70 feet, or, you know, we're not going to show you what was left of him after he hit, but we are going to acknowledge that it happened. We're not going to show you the morbid part of history, but we'll show you that we remember it. That I would accept.
And you know, you preface any viewing of the show with the same type of thing that they're going to do with Benoit. But it's sort of the same type of thing. You know, you have a warning of, you know, this is the, WWE wishes to advise that the contained within has some mentions of events that may disturb younger viewers. Parental discretion is advised, you know, and put in the little message of respect to Owen and his family. You know, you preface the pay-per-view with knowledge that this is going to contain the mention of the man's passing. You edit out anything, like you might edit out the package and all that bits and pieces, but you leave in the mention. You know, and you know, maybe end it with a little graphic of Owen.
Well, for those of you who didn't watch the pay-per-view, it would be exceedingly difficult to edit the thing down to remove not just the death fall, but mentions of the fact that Owen Hart did, in fact, pass away as a result of it, because it's peppered throughout the pay-per-view about like a half hour after it happened.
But
to the end
of
the night.
Tim.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing, though. They're editing out any shots to the commentary table where they speak of it. They're going to go through and remove the audio of any time it is mentioned.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that's going to be one of the most butchered pay-per-views in terms of editing in,
yeah.
like, ever.
Yeah, but the conclusion of the point that I was making was that it's going to be impossible to understand or try to figure out the air of sobriety that everybody was showing, who knew that Owen had died as a result of the fall. And of course, naturally, the main focus on that is the announce table. Rock, you saw the pay-per-view.
No.
You didn't? Okay.
No, that's
just
what I
said. That.
I said that about 10 minutes ago. That's one,
okay.
one pay-per-view I've never seen.
Okay, I thought Omega said he. I thought it was Omega who said that he hadn't seen anything.
Everyone said
everyone.
Yeah, I think you might be the only one on this panel that has actually seen it, Tim.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just the error that everybody had. You know, without not even bringing up the mentions of Owen's passing,
right.
if you will. I hate that phrase. Oh, he passed. No, he didn't pass. He fucking fell and died. Thank you. He didn't go away. He died. But,
Would you like to refer to it of he dropped like a lead weight, Tim?
Not quite that harshly, no. But thanks for playing. It's people are going to be watching that, and there will be some people clicking on it who don't realize it. Again, if there is no mention like you were saying, Mace, right?
I would assume there's a warning.
There would have to be some kind of a mention, definitely. Otherwise, people are going to say, well, how come they're so goddamn sad and close to tears while the main event's going on? And you know there's going to be some dumb schmuck tuning in who wouldn't have a clue. It's just, it's inevitable and unavoidable in this day and age.
But either way, hey, they're showing Chris Benoit matches with a warning at the start of everything, so.
Have you heard what the warning is?
I have not heard verbatim what the actual scripting has what it says, but I've heard that they are in the process of writing it.
They've actually got at least part of it good to go, and the part that they do have good to go, the warning that will flash on the screen is that these are characters and do not represent real-life situations or people. So they're actually alluding to wrestling being characterizations because of Benoit.
Which, you know, in that situation, probably the best thing you can do is separate the human being from the character on TV.
Yeah, because that's a great debate for the ages right there. Should you put Benoit in the Hall of Fame or not?
No.
No.
There are schmucks out there saying, God damn it, I know what he did in his personal life, but he was set up and murdered by Kevin Sullivan, put him in the Hall of Fame.
No. Kevin Sullivan involved in this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, like, and I've been saying this for years, that we need to separate the man from the character, which is what they're doing, and I'm grateful for that, because, you know, Benoit the human being in the end, despicable human being, you know, piece of fucking trash. The Benoit that we got to see on television every week was one of the best technical wrestlers in many, many generations.
Yep.
And his art should be appreciated.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
You still know, even though what you said is extremely valid, and I'd be hard-pressed to legitimately argue with you on that one, you know that it's still going to raise controversy.
Fuck yes.
So, anyway, there's that. So, Rock, we're done with your buy or sell, are we?
Yes.
What's next? I know. Let's go to the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. It's Paul Bear. It's Paul Bear. And that's gotta be Kane. That's gotta be Kane.
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
And here we are, round number two. It's the debut of Lex Luger in WCW in 1995 against the debut of the Radicals in WWF at the time. Omega, you're up first.
I think on just a historical point, you give it to the Radicals, if only because it was such a weird thing to see four guys jump at the same time. I mean, okay, Benoit at that time had a World Heavyweight Championship under his belt, and you had a lot of guys like Malenko and Eddie who were decorated themselves in the cruiserweight division, but, you know, so they're mid to upper mid card guys, but the fact that it was four at the same time was just kind of a shock. You felt like half their roster was suddenly transplanted.
All right, so one for the Radical. Mace.
Yeah, I got to give this to the Radicals. You know, these guys came in and they actually did something. You know, they both sort of had the same type of thing where you had guys jumping from one company to another. It wasn't known beforehand that both stories were happening. But the Radicals, in their introduction, you know, they came out, they shook hands with Al Snow and got involved in the match in the end, and automatically there was an impact made by these guys. You know, it was a very, you know, holy crap, you know, these guys are here and they're not going to fuck around. Especially, once again, Benoit, he had just come off winning the title of Sid Vicious in WCW. And basically dropped the title back onto the company table and said, I'm going. See ya.
See ya, bye.
Yeah. See ya, bye, see ya. And, you know, jumped to the opposition. And this was in a day when the internet and the dirt sheets were really starting to catch on. So this was probably one of the last instances where a jump like this has been made and it was kept secret from the public.
I wouldn't say it was kept secret.
Well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't to the pack to the point where they had like 45,000 signs in the arena saying, you know, Benoit is here, or, you know, Malenko is here, Guerrero is here. You know, you take a look at when guys like Brock Lesnar are coming back nowadays, and you have like people all over the place know from the start of the show he's gonna be here at some point. You know, that wasn't all that common back then. So a lot of people didn't know that they were coming up, especially in the way that they did.
Right. Tim.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Mace. Back him up even further. The internet was just getting started, and they were just grabbing a clue at this point in time. And all you had basically was Meltzer's dirt sheet. You didn't have WrestleZone. You didn't have Wrestling Inc. You didn't have PW Mania, www.pwmania.com for all your wrestling news. You didn't have Pro Wrestling Scoops or any of these other websites that are just going like crazy and throwing the spaghetti to the fridge to see which noodle stuck.
Really?
People were watching WCW. People were watching WWF. Both shows were getting ratings of 7, 8. So everybody was watching either program or both programs. You see Benoit, he's got the title. The following week, what the hell is he doing in the crowd at a WWF event? Well, he knows these guys and those guys, maybe he's just catching the show and said, wait, isn't that Guerrero with him? What the hell? What about those other... Holy shit, they jumped the rail! You didn't see it, you didn't know it, it was secret, exactly the one of the last greatest, best-kept secrets in professional wrestling was them coming over to WWF from WWE. I'll tell you how exciting Lex Luger's WCW debut was. I can't even fucking remember what happened.
Walked out on the first ever episode of Monday Nitro.
Yeah, so it was that, you know, it was that surprising.
It was still big. It was still big.
It made that much of an impact.
His debut was big. It really was because his contract.
At the same time, I'm comparing it to the Radicals.
Oh, I know, I understand that, but at the same time, his contract just with WWE just ran out, and he jumped ship the next week.
Well, he, along with a handful of other people, are the reason why they instituted the 90-day no-compete clause.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you see what I'm doing here? It's not a literal.
I understand.
It's a figurative comparison.
I know. We were debating. Great debate.
Yes.
Okay. Give it up, Rock. The Lex Express is broken down.
Aww.
Yes. I'm sorry. I know that you were trying to. You wanted to at least get one vote. Fuck you. It's unanimous. The Radicals move on.
USA. USA. Anyway.
Radicals.
Taz versus Goldberg. Taz is WWE. Goldberg's WWE. Mace.
Go, Canada, go.
Huh? What?
Oh. If Goldberg coming out sparing The Rock, which, you know, would obviously make me a happy fan.
But it was Goldberg.
Exactly. But it was Goldberg. Yes. Going up against Taz beating the absolute shit out of Kurt Angle. Yeah, I gotta go with Taz. That debut match was awesome because, you know, I was a big fan of Taz back when he wrestled. And to see him go up against a guy like Angle and just fucking suplex the shit out of him and then choke him out. Oh, beautiful.
Omega.
Also going with Taz. Goes, yes. While, yeah, Rock selling a spear as if he just took a harpoon in the stomach. Amusing. Goldberg didn't need that kind of debut, because it's goddamn Goldberg. You know, I don't care what you think about his in-ring skills. You know.
What in-ring skills? Yes.
Okay, I don't care what you think of him in the ring. The guy was a huge star. He was a huge attraction. He was a huge name for WCW. The fact that he was coming in at all is a big deal. It didn't matter who the hell he speared. It just happened to be The Rock because they wanted to start him off big. Taz needed that. Taz was from number three company to number one company. Supposedly number one at the time.
Well, 1A, 1B.
Yeah, 1A, 1B. So, going up to 1A. Right.
Yeah, depending on whether or not Mick Foley was winning the title that night.
The point is, he had less exposure, less people were aware of him, less people had actually seen what he was capable of. And let's face it, he's not... Dude had a weird physique, right?
Fire plug.
He looked like the Tasmanian devil. Just short, stocky, and dangerous.
You look like a cross between a fire plug and a beer keg. He did! With a head, you know, bowling ball for a head.
So to come out and demolish Angle, great way of proving himself right off the bat. You know, and he needed that extra bump. Goldberg didn't, so less impactful. Taz wins.
Tim, you gonna stand by your fellow Jew?
I'm not Jewish. So don't put me in the same boat as you. I keep telling you, and I'll tell you again, my ancestors fried yours in ovens.
Hey, that's racist.
That's not racist. It's
Keep
a historical
that shit
fact.
To Saturday night.
It's a historical fact and one that I'm not proud of, but it happened. Anyway, I put it to rest, all right? My ancestors are not Jewish. They're from Austria. That's where the last name came from. Get over it. Anyway, Taz or Goldberg. You know, Goldberg, Spirit in the Rock. Yeah, whatever. If, you know, exactly. I remember Taz's debut with crystal clarity because I didn't have to work that night, so I had control of the remote control, and my roommate was forced to watch WWF with me. And it's just the heartbeat, beep, boom, boom, boom. And then, you know, the flat line, and he comes out, and he's got that towel over his head. He's like, who the fuck is that guy? Well, that's Taz. You don't know that? Oh, yeah, you don't know shit. You don't know wrestling. And he's like, whoa, fuck, he's going to beat the fuck out of that other guy. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Boom. I like him.
Jim Ross's commentary on that intro sold it.
It didn't hurt. So, yeah, Taz.
So Taz and the Radicals move on. Next week on The Great Debate, Eric Bischoff's WWE debut against the debut of The Shield, and the NWO battles Ric Flair's WCW debut.
Ooh. That being said, why don't we get into some quick hits?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Let's start with Tim.
No.
Yes, Tim.
Okay. What? What do you want?
Do you take the shampoos and conditioner bottles from hotels?
No.
Why not?
I use half of the shampoos and conditioners. I use half of them, and then I leave the half-empty bottles on the side of the tub with the caps up, underneath the floor mat that I use. I put that over there, and then I drape it, so it's sitting there. And so when the housekeeping comes in and they grab that, then it drops the shampoo and conditioner all over the bathroom floor.
You'd be less of a dick to steal them.
No shit, right? Mace.
It's not shitty enough working as a hotel maid to get fucked with, too.
Yeah.
Housekeeping, I clean your room now?
Mace, which mythological creature are you most like, and why?
What mythical creature? Good God. I really have no clue. Fucking hell, Rock, you've actually fucking stopped me. Congratulations.
Yes.
Welcome to mine.
Yeah, no shit. So I can't really say I'm a leprechaun because I'm like 6 foot tall. But, I'd probably say vampire.
Why?
Because I'm more of a night owl. I hate daylight. It's evil, and it burns my skin.
Makes you a geek.
Shut up!
That's not what makes him a geek.
No, the collection of figures all over my walls do that.
That helps.
Omega, when was the last time you wrote a letter to someone? On actual paper.
What's your paper?
Fuck you. No. Fuck you. 2 days ago.
What?
Oh, he meant fuck you 2 days ago, bitch. So there. I get it.
Before that, how long was it?
Fuck you.
God, before that? Shit. trying to remember the last time I picked up a fucking pencil and wrote anything, let alone mailed it off.
Oh, I remember the last time I wrote an actual, like, paper letter.
Hmm. I think the last time I actually wrote, like, an actual physical letter, I wrote an email, or no, not an email. See, this is how it's ingrained in me. I can't even say just letter.
I wrote an email
with a pencil.
With a pencil. And an electronic stylus pencil. No?
The bitch to erase. And I still can't get the whiteout off my screen. No, I wrote a
You're
letter.
You're not that one!
I wrote a letter to a gaming magazine because I was pissed off because I bought a game. I bought a strategy guide for a Nintendo 64 game called Turok Dinosaur Hunter. And they gave me the wrong fucking cheat codes.
There you go.
So, with all the rage, with all the rage a teenager could write, I wrote to get my fucking cheat codes. God damn it, I wanted big-headed raptors.
Why didn't you just Google it?
We're back up to Tim now. Tim, besides hockey, what Winter Olympic sport do you think you can actually do well in?
You think I could do well in hockey? Thanks.
No, I was taking hockey off the table because I knew that would have been your go-to answer.
Yeah, but still, you implied that I would be a damn good hockey player. You're right, by the way, but still. Oh, fuck. Well, I don't know. What are the winter sports besides hockey?
You got figure skating.
Yeah, I'm not gay, so no.
Luge, bobsledding.
I'd be afraid of going down the track luge. I wouldn't want to hit a pole and kill myself.
You know, the ski jumping, that sort of thing.
Oh, I don't know how to ski, so that probably wouldn't work.
You know how to snowboard? Do a half pipe?
I could do the half pipe.
There you go.
Sure.
Curling. Curling.
I was about to say, we did it in high school, I could be a curler.
Everyone said curling.
Yeah, well, I had to say curling because, yeah, I'm Canadian and they expected it. Yeah, fuckers. You're lucky we haven't... No, I'm probably the lucky one that we haven't figured out how to play ice lacrosse.
The game looks boring as hell, but I have to admit, I don't know how the fuck it works. But apparently they do.
What, curling?
Yeah.
Think shuffleboard, genius. You live in Florida. I know you should be familiar with it.
Yeah.
Curling is shuffleboard on a sheet of ice.
With sweepers.
What's with the fucking brooms?
Well, that just
if I did that on
the
shuffleboard, the thing would grind to a halt.
Okay, what's on shuffleboard to make the things slide down the board?
Salt,
sawdust, or salt?
Usually salt,
or salt. It's one or the other. We use sawdust.
You're Canadian.
You don't do it right.
The brooms are the curling way of putting salt on the ice, because what that does is it makes it slick and that makes the rock keep sliding, so the
board... Why does ice need to be slicker?
Because ice, when it's cold, is not slick. Ice is actually not slippery at all. The reason why people slip on ice is because of the friction of their foot, or the boot, whatever, on the ice. It actually melts a micro-thin layer of ice, and what you're slipping on is a molecule-thick ribbon of water. Now, it can actually get too cold to slip on the ice. Believe it or not, it can also get too cold to snow. You wouldn't know shit like this because you live in Florida.
Welcome to Tim Stein, the science guy, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, I got an idea for a new show. Fuck off.
See, every time I think of this, I think of the time me and a friend went ice skating. Because we do have a local hockey rink, and they do set up ice skating, you know, when teams aren't playing.
You realize that those two words to a Canadian are extremely redundant.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But she'd gone all the time. She used to go ice skating up north as a kid.
Yep.
And she thought, so this would be hilarious. Let's put the guy who's never had ice skates on in his life on the ice and just send him on his way.
And let me guess, she fell on her ass and you went all the way around.
I literally skated a circle around her when she fell.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a good day for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, talking hockey made me just think back to last Sunday. When my son, I caught his debut, his first ever organized little league ball hockey game, playing in net. And my kid held his team in. He let in 3 goals, but he held his team in and made the clutch stops when they were important so his team could come back and tie the game up before the game ended. So I'm really proud of Owen. And my God, he's grown by leaps and bounds. You wouldn't recognize him. That's because you've never seen him before.
That would be a first step.
Yep.
Once again, I say, how about them Flames? Mace, what sound drives you crazy?
Fuck off, it's a rebuild. That sound drives them crazy. Talking about hockey.
Sounds that drive me crazy. There's two sounds that drive me crazy. One, nails on a chalkboard.
Okay, what's the other one?
Absolutely, can't stand it. And the other one, I don't get as much anymore, thank God, is that low yet high-pitched hum of CRT tubes.
Oh, that very almost subliminal noise in the background?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, because you could walk past somebody's house, and you know when they've had the TV on all day, because you can hear that high-pitched squeal of the tubes.
And you don't know if you have tinnitus or if somebody's watching TV.
Yeah, and you don't know whether you're going insane or, you know, you suddenly develop dog hearing or, yeah, somebody's just had the TV on too long.
And there you go. And finally, to Omega, if you were to go out on a Valentine's date with any current WWE diva, who would it be and what would your pickup line be?
Yeah, good luck with that one.
God. If I get my choice of diva, it's AJ Lee. Because we're just going to talk geek shit all night. That's the thing. I don't do pickup lines. I detest the idea of a pickup line.
Okay, you go up to AJ Lee and say, hey, you want to do coffee, talk about Transformers?
No. It's, hey, baby, you want to see my Fortress Maximus?
I got a Decepticon here I want to show you.
Okay, to be more innuendo and more nerdy, I can show her my Omega Supreme.
Bum, ba, da, dum.
There you go.
But Omega.
I'll be here all week.
Try the veal.
Boy, no, tip the veal, try the waitress.
There you go. Oh, hey, I've done both. You can hear that music in the background. That's we're done, everybody. Before you bugger off, we're going to plug shit. Tomorrow night, right after Raw, you could even call it Raw because it spells Raw right after Raw. Think about it. With Sorokin, and I think he's going to be here with, you know, Lindsay Ward, the artist extraordinaire, who can really, like, draw shit and do a good job doing it. And they're going to basically give you 3 hours of Raw in 45 minutes. Tune in. They might actually break it down in debate. You never know.
Go check out her artwork at Behance.net/Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, Thursday night, it's another episode of the award-winning The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward, accompanied by Sir Rockin'. That's right, 3-time award-winning The Rack. Tune in. If you haven't, you're missing shit.
Visit RackRadioShow.com as well.
Yeah, we got our own fucking website. Fuck off, whatever. Yeah, RackRadioShow.com.
Yes, we
Saturday
do.
Saturday night, midnight, or as close as they can get to. What?
No, hold on.
You're interrupting me. I'm plugging.
Yes, you can also go to RussellTalkRadio.com as well. Just pointing that one out.
Whoa. Is that like a shot?
No, just saying. You said we have our website. You have a website, too. It's WrestleTalkRadio.com.
Okay. Isn't that redirected to Wild Talk Radio?
It's the whole website, isn't it?
Hey, well, it's pretty much the whole concept. Saturday Midnight, as close as I get to it, yeah, you'll get way more of The Rock than, and I'm not talking Dwayne Johnson, than you ever wanted. That's right. CB Radio takes to the air, and who knows, you might hear Subway actually correctly predict shit that he will deny and say he didn't pick it.
No, he never does. You can go to cbradio.ewazone.com for all 318 past episodes.
Whoa, another website? Jesus. Okay, Mace, we're building you a website.
Sweet.
Omega's already got one, so I wasn't going to offer. Unless you want another one, Omega. But then,
no,
because we need somebody to write a press release, so forget it. Speaking of which, Omega, plug
that
something.
Is so fucking old.
Well,
not even affiliated with the site who did that press release.
Hey. It's my first night back. Plug something.
See, well, the said website is tjomega.org, where you can see my latest big video that has taken me way too long to produce. All my stuff is available over at TJ Omega on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at TJ Omega, Facebook at TJ Reviews, and you want to go to the YouTube channel because it's 10 million views now. See, that's the new one we're pushing, Tim.
Well, we're pushing for 10 million or we're pushing YouTube?
No, we're pushing that I have 10 million views now.
Oh, there you go. Okay,
yeah,
that
is the new press release.
Let me get in touch with a certain website to give you a press release about that. And then it won't be so old anymore.
You're just going to keep going, aren't you? I'm giving you new material and you keep going.
Yeah, well, you know, you put me on a spot and I'm just hung up on press releases. Because I want one, God damn it.
It's been a long time since Tim had a press release.
I've never had a press release. Not a legitimate one, anyway. Except for those ones, but we don't count them. Anyway, Mace, do you have anything to plug? Besides your toilet after eating the shrimp?
Okay, whatever.
What the fuck?
Follow me on Twitter at the Mace Thing. If you have the PlayStation Network, add Mace Thing and Mace JPN to your PlayStation Network accounts, and you know, maybe I'll play a game with you at some point. Especially if you've got Gundam versus Gundam Extreme versus Full Burst.
There you go. All right, I think we're just about ready to get out of here, but before we get out of here, I'm just going to imply to a certain individual who likes to not exactly tell the whole truth about the Wild Talk Radio Network and the people involved with it. You lie to us again, and I'm going to release that transcript of that chat that I saw between you and a certain individual, and I'm going to make sure your wife sees it. Shut the fuck up. Have a great night, everybody. See you next week. Buy the shirt, love. WildTalkRadio.com.